Acts 18:4 reads, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today I'm excited to say we're starting a new quarter. We're just wrapping up our quarterly focus on good works. Today we begin a quarterly focus on evangelism. And next quarter, which will begin in October, we'll be starting our final quarterly focus of our three-year rotation, which will be on missions. So this quarter, for this month, and then the next 2 months, it's going to be what is evangelism? And basically, I've broken down the podcasts this quarter into four parts. The first part we'll cover entirely today. It's the question of what is evangelism? So just a definition of what are we talking about? That's what we're discussing today. And then the next part will be reasons not to evangelize, and we've all got them. Unfortunately, we all have many of them, so we're going to be discussing those objections in our own minds of why we don't evangelize. Then we'll move more positively to the third part, which is why we should evangelize, and have a few episodes on that. And then finally, all the rest of the episodes after that will be not motivation, but rather just how. How do I evangelize? And discussing how we do that in the context of our family, how we do that in different situations, different ways. So how do you do that when you're just meeting someone on an airplane in public? How do you do that with someone you've known for a long time? So we're going to be talking about evangelism, sharing the gospel. I'm looking forward to it. To that end, I wanted to have an episode just today on definition. It's just me by myself, which is usually the case on some of these more technical discussions. So just what is evangelism? We are going to keep it really simple. And I'm actually going to be borrowing from Max Stiles. His little book called Evangelism in the Nine Mark Series is out in our foyer right now. It's available. I forget if it's something like $11 or $12. It's whatever it costs on Amazon. That's what we sell it for here, rounded down. And so I'd encourage you to pick up that book. It is the very best book on evangelism I've ever read in my life. I love it. It impacted me so deeply when I first read it. I reread it as we prepared for this quarter. Still love it very much. Max Stiles is just a very helpful voice on doing evangelism well. And this book is fantastic. And it focuses especially on how we do evangelism in the local church as the local church. So that's my little encouragement. Very small, five chapters, small little book. I'd encourage you to read that. But we're going to borrow from his definition of evangelism. This is on page 26 of that little book. He says, "Evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade." Don't you like how simple that is? Teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. And also it's accurate because if you look at Acts 18:4 that I read earlier, it said he reasoned, this is Paul, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. So what is reasoning? It's dialegomai is the Greek. He's teaching. He's teaching. He's using truths from the Bible or what would eventually become the New Testament. He's using those truths, reasoning them with people. So that's the teaching part. And it says, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. It's like he read Max Stiles' book. Just kidding. But you do see that definition there, both parts, because persuade, patho, is the Greek. He's trying to persuade. He's reasoning. That's the teaching part, the content that we're presenting, and persuading. So that is a wonderful simplicity. I do like keeping our definition simple if we can, because it shows that evangelism, as we'll see in this quarter, is something you don't want to tie down to just one method and one location, like turn it on, now I'm evangelizing, turn it off. Evangelism's a part of our lives. We go, and while we're going, make disciples. This is part of our lives. So a definition this simply, teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade, you do that as a parent with your children at home. You do that with your neighbor, just talking. You do that over dinner with someone. You can do that via a text message, conversation in person, a letter. You can do it on a plane ride with someone you just met. You can do it with a friend, family member. So that's going to be our definition, teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. Now, I want to spend the rest of this particular podcast episode just looking at those two parts very briefly. So let's begin with that teaching the gospel and make sure that's clear in our mind. J.I. Packer has a book called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. I couldn't really convey to you enough how important this book is. It's had a huge impact on everyone in our circles. It's very significant, wonderful book. It's not just about sovereignty, although that's the focus of it, but it just has so much solid counsel on how we think about God's control of things and our responsibility, and especially in regard to evangelism. So this book came out, wow, it's been a long time. I don't know if it was in the 60s maybe, but it is still a fantastic book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by J.I. Packer. But here's what he says on that teaching part of evangelism on page 57. Clearly, in Paul's view, his first and fundamental job as a preacher of the gospel was to communicate knowledge, to get gospel truth fixed in people's minds. To him, teaching the truth was the basic evangelistic activity. To him, therefore, the only right method of evangelism was the teaching method. What Packer's trying to convey here is that when we share the gospel, there may be an appeal to emotions involved, and should be under the persuade element, but we are first and foremost conveying content. We have a gospel message that can be put down in propositions. It's focused on a person, Jesus Christ, but it's who he is and what he's done. And we have to teach that to other people. Even in our context where everyone's heard the story or some version of it, of Jesus and his death and resurrection, even in our context, it's still, evangelism is still very much an act of teaching, because you're usually correcting false understandings of the gospel. So you're not typically building on nothing to convey the elements of the gospel, but you're usually looking at, okay, what does this person already know? And then how do we correct elements that are off? Or then if they have the elements correctly, then we persuade at that point. But oftentimes people misunderstand the content of the gospel. So we're still in a teaching mode. This doesn't mean you have to be brilliant intellectually. Remember that all the apostles were fishermen, mainly uneducated, which was surprising to people. They were the ones called to do this teaching. And so if God can make that happen in them, with their lack of education and their just manual labor up to that point, he can do the same thing with any of us. But we do want to bear in mind, we are teaching in evangelism. Romans chapter 10, Paul makes this clear when he says, how then will they, people, call on him in whom they haven't believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So the logic of what he's saying is, if someone doesn't know the content of the gospel focused on Christ, who he is, what he's done, then what are they going to believe in? You can't just tell someone, believe in what? They have to know the content if they're going to believe. So teaching is necessary. Now, if you want to know the content of the gospel, we don't have time here to get into that in depth right now, although I'd love to. But it would be better to just point you back to episodes 27 and 28 of this Think This Way podcast, where we discussed what is the gospel in two parts. And that episode, if I remember correctly, was drawn in part from Greg Gilbert's little book, What is the Gospel? And he breaks the gospel into those four parts of God, man, sin, response. There are other ways to categorize it, but it's very simple. So anyways, you do need to have a good grasp. If you're going to be teaching the gospel, you've got to know the gospel. So maybe getting a hold of Gilbert's What is the Gospel would be a great way to just freshen up, make sure the gospel is clear in your mind, or go listen to episodes 27 and 28. So, teaching the gospel, part one of this definition. The second part is with the aim to persuade. And what we mean here is that once you've done the teaching, there is another step that is very important in actually evangelizing. I don't want to minimize if you are with someone and you share your testimony. I think that's a wonderful way to evangelize. Share what God's done in your life. or if you hand someone a gospel tract, so you're not even talking with them, they're just reading it. We're not minimizing that God uses those kinds of things all the time. God can save someone without you persuading. God will only save someone who has the content of the gospel, so that teaching part is totally necessary. The persuading part, the Holy Spirit can do without you. He's willing to do without you, but that's not normally the way he does it. Typically, when someone comes to Christ, there is a persuading element, and certainly in the New Testament, if you look at just Paul or Jesus, evangelism includes persuasion. It's not, here's the content of the gospel, take it or leave it, do what you want, I don't care. It's, here's the content of the gospel, my heart breaks for you to embrace this. Paul's saying, I could be cut off from the Lord because of how desperately I desire, if only my kinsmen might know him. There is a persuading element. Think of the Great Commission. It's go make disciples, teaching them. So it's not just go teach, but it's make disciples, and that includes teaching. So there is this persuading people to become actual disciples. And honestly, this is the really offensive part of evangelizing. I think that conveying the content, that can be scary enough sometimes, but it's when you get personal with someone. You've shared the gospel, you've done the bridge diagram, you've walked through God, man, sin, response, and now it comes to persuading the person, urging the person, what are you going to do about this? You're called to repent and trust in Christ. Are you going to do it, or what's keeping you from doing it right now? That's where it can get real dicey. But that's important as a part of evangelism. We're not encouraging manipulation. We may talk about that later. This isn't some kind of manipulation where out of a desperation to keep people out of hell, we just do whatever it takes, including tricking people to get them to believe. We're not talking about that. But persuasion is using reason, using emotional appeal that's appropriate to the reason. I mean, using the love that we have for people, saying, this isn't just take it or leave it. I want you to be in heaven. I want you to have your sins forgiven. So moving to that persuasion. You see that in Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. And I look forward to talking through all kinds of other elements of why we don't evangelize, why we do, how we can in the coming weeks. For now, perhaps you've never thought much about what evangelism even is. You took it for granted definition. Maybe you've been teaching the gospel but have left out the element of persuading. Or maybe you've downplayed the teaching of the content of the gospel in your evangelism. Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.